Welcome everyone to worship this beautiful Sunday morning. Are we through with winter? Next week we spring forward, so we mess up our body clocks once again. It is already the third weekend of Lent, the third Sunday of Lent. Our emphasis this year is on our own identity. Who are we? And today I'll try to explain that a little bit as we look through the eyes of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and John, that beloved disciple. Let's begin our worship, shall we, with our first hymn, Please Rise.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I invite you to kneel as able to confess our sins. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We may rise.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Make my faith a little more like Mary's, Lord. I want to be ready to do your will. I want to see my life through the lens of your eternal kingdom. I want to trust your promise so much that I am willing to risk shame and uncertainty because I know you are with me. Give me the courage to pray. I am your servant, Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. I'm Mary Jo Jump, and our first reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." And his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Comes from the Gospel of Mark, the third chapter. And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Thank you.
angel Gabriel, a special messenger of God that we know appears and does God's work at least three different times. First, in the Old Testament, to the prophet Daniel, the angel appears to help him interpret a dream, a vision that he had. And next, it was to the priest Zechariah to predict the birth of John the Baptist, that miraculous birth. And finally, Gabriel appears to the Virgin Mary to tell her that she would conceive and bear a son. I wonder if Gabriel hovered anywhere near Golgotha, Skull Hill, the place of the crucifixion in Jerusalem, that fateful Good Friday afternoon. If the angel was there in the skies hovering, can you imagine what the captain of the angel armies would have seen? The white temple mount, usually splendor in all of its white, the sun just glistening off all of those stones, so perfectly cut. But that afternoon, it's dull and flat because the whole afternoon is dark. If the angel had looked over the marketplace, the typical hustle and bustle going on a Friday afternoon before the Sabbath would begin, everybody getting in their last-minute shopping, but not this day at all. It's oddly hushed. There's a heavy air over the whole place. Or what if the angel looked once again over the hills of Bethlehem, off there in the distance, 7-8 miles away, where Gabriel had announced the birth of the Savior of the world to the shepherds? There's a group of people that are huddled around a garbage dump, an executioner's hill simply known as the Skull. Not a beautiful place at all to be what the angel Gabriel would see. And there between two criminals who deserved death, the Savior Gabriel, the one he had proclaimed as Savior, is hanging, nailed to his cross. And there at the bottom of the cross is Mary, his mother, real close at hand. I wonder what Gabriel thought as he looked at Mary once again, how she had changed over the years, how she had aged with worry, how this young girl that the angel called blessed and highly favored looked now, there at the foot of the cross. To the angel, perhaps it seemed like a long time ago, she told the virgin she would have that baby. But there she was, looking at Jesus, Mary, his mother, and also John, the beloved disciple, standing by her side. If Gabriel were looking down from the clouds that Good Friday afternoon, he would have seen the horror. He would have seen the shame. He would have heard the jeering and the cries of pain. But then the angelic messenger would have also recognized with wonder that small family clinging to each other in their grief and in their fear, a new family forming there at the foot of the cross. John, as he stands next to Mary, is painfully aware that this woman that he has come to respect and love, the woman he has traveled with when they follow Jesus, is greatly troubled. There's this aroma of vinegar that is so bitter, but it still is holding a hint of a flavor of wine as they're force-feeding Jesus. The crowd is yelling that they want Elijah to show up, but this smell of the wine, this disgusting wine vinegar, has John thinking of another time where wine was served at a wedding party back in Cana, that small town. Mary was there, and John had come with Jesus. And you remember when they started running low on wine at the banquet, Mary told Jesus that they're about out of wine. And Jesus, it's none of my business, Mother, not yours or mine. This isn't my time. Don't push me. But she went ahead anyway. She tells the servants, whatever he tells you, you do it. The scripture says there's 6 stoneware water pots there. These are big pots that the Jews used for their ritual washings. Each pot's got about, 20, 30 gallons of water in them. And Jesus tells the servants, fill each pot to the very top. Then he says, now fill your pitchers and take those out to the host. So they fill their water pitchers. They take them to the host. The host tastes the water, but the servants know it's no longer water. They're just watching with a smirk. And the bridegroom is called out by the host. Everybody I know begins with the best wine first. And then when you've had a little bit and you're feeling just a little bit of the wine, then you bring out the lesser wine, the cheap stuff. But you've saved the best till now. John remembers. It was the first glimpse of Jesus in all of his glory. Now he's standing there at the foot of the cross. He's remembering the hope and the dreams that he had back in Cana, how he just expected that Jesus would make so many changes, maybe get rid of these Romans, maybe give us some freedom and some peace. Then he recalls another occasion just a day earlier where there was some more wine in the upper room. It was the Last Supper, the Passover wine. So like, yet so unlike that Cana cup of wine. When Jesus on that night said, my blood poured out for the sins of the world. Now there he is at the foot of the cross. And there's that coppery odor of blood that mixes with the wine vinegar. The soldiers keep giving it to Jesus. John looks up to see Jesus' blood being poured out, and he feels the shame of his own sin. He's feeling really guilty because he's remembering that he fell asleep in Gethsemane when Jesus said, just stay awake while I go to pray. He remembers running away and hiding. He remembers not doing more at the high priest's house to save Jesus. He's holding on to Mary as she's just sobbing. He feels the weight of his sin, but he's watching his sin, the weight of his sin, crushing his friend, the teacher, the rabbi right there. John hears Jesus praying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. He's amazed at that kind of grace, a love that forgives even people that harm him. But John doesn't feel personally forgiven. He knew what he was doing. John feels it would have been much better for him to die than to stand here watching his friend's life slowly trickle away, knowing he could do nothing at all to stop it. And then Jesus suddenly looks up from underneath that spit and sweat and the blood, and he says, behold your mother. And John knows right then how deeply, personally Jesus loves him. how Jesus deeply forgives. When Jesus trusts his own mother to John, one of those who slept through the agony in the garden, one of those who ran away with newly washed feet out into the woods, when Jesus trusts his own mother and her future into the hands of a weak and fickle sinner, John knows he's never going to be the same again. He knows he's part of a whole new family at the foot of the cross. Mary, meanwhile, is thinking other things. She's gone back to Simeon and Anna when her and Joseph brought the baby Jesus to the temple to make the sacrifice. And they're meeting Simeon there. And Simeon, that old man that God promised would not die until he saw the Messiah. And Simeon sees that brand new baby and he holds him in his arms and he says, "Lord, now you're letting your salvation right here. It's come. And I, as your servant, can depart in peace." And then Anna, the woman who had been a widow for 84 years, who never left the temple area, worshiping there all the time, always fasting, always praying, comes up. She sees the baby. And she breaks into her praise songs to God and talks about the child that they were all waiting for expectantly for the freedom of Jerusalem. Mary is a bit oblivious to John there at her side because she sees Jesus' feet driven through by an iron spike into the wood. But she remembers when he took his first toddling steps in the Egyptian sand. She looks over and she sees the sharp javelin of the Russian soldier as he's lifting up yet more wine vinegar. And she suddenly recalls the words that she had pondered in her heart, "A sword will pierce your own soul." Right now, it doesn't feel like salvation that the Lord had prepared in the face of all the people. This doesn't feel like any light for the Gentiles at all, not for the glory of Israel. Frankly, she says, this is darkness and death. She's felt separation from Jesus before. This isn't the first time. When he first left the carpenter shop and wandered in the wilderness for all those days, and came back a very changed man. She thought a sword had pierced her soul that day. And the day when Jesus refused to come back with the family, she thought he would be a sensible son, but he claimed he had to be doing his father's will. And that everybody who did his father's will were his mother and brothers and sisters. It felt like she had been abandoned by that boy on that day. But it didn't last. "The one who does God's will is my mother," Jesus had said. Those words stuck with Mary. And she remembered her husband Joseph. And she remembered the angel. And she remembered how she responded to that angel so long ago. "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Mary is praying that prayer over and over while she looks at Jesus in all that pain. And through a split lip that slightly slurs his speech, he talks directly to her for the first time in what feels like weeks. "Woman, here's your son." She's confused for a moment because she sees Jesus in the cross with all of his agony and his horror and his glory. Behold your son, he says. She does. And then with a slight turn of her head, she makes eye contact with the man just to her right. And she hears, behold your mother. Only now does Mary realize she's been holding on the strong arm of John all of this time. And although it feels like a final farewell, the fact that Mary could even imagine her need and her future in the fog of all of this pain is a gift to her mother's heart. For a moment, Mary is caught between all of the memories of the past and the future. For a moment, she sees her son John, or her son Jesus, and then there's John, who will look after her. And the grief and the anger and the helpless pain seems to reside, if just by a little, because Mary knows she's part of a new family at the foot of the cross. When Jesus looked at that new family, at his mother and John, he also looked at you at the foot of the cross. He looks at us from that cross as he looked at his mother and the disciple John, with love for them, but also for us. He spoke that word of forgiveness to all of us. We became part of a whole new family. Your identity is in that family of Jesus and Mary and John at the foot of the cross, forgiven, redeemed. No more do you need to be ashamed. Now you have that promise of life eternal. In the name of Jesus, amen. Would you stand, and along with me, let's speak of this faith that we have in our one Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, and for us men, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day rose again according to the Scriptures, and descended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated. Our prayers this morning will conclude with, O Word made flesh, and our response is, let us live to serve you, Lord. Like Mary before us, we are humbled that you have chosen us to be part of your family. Help us to be grateful to honor to you and to honor you in all we do in thanksgiving for everything you called us to be through your power and strength. O Word made flesh, let us live to serve you, Lord. When tasks are daunting and we may not know if we can live up to the name Christian. Help us to remember that you have made us who we are for a reason, and your purpose will come to pass through your divine will. May we never lose sight of your vision for our lives, and may we always trust that you will give us the abilities we need to carry out your plans. O Word made flesh, let us live to serve you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for our mothers and fathers and all those who cared for us in childhood and beyond. May we never forget the sacrifices they made for us and the insight they shared to help us to live more fully to our potential. Help mothers and fathers caring for children in our midst today turn to you for wisdom and guidance in living out their vocation and as parents. And we also join with celebration for Marjorie and Jim Catt and the birth of their son on February 28th, Jonathan Charles Catt. We thank you for this wonderful gift and give safety and health to mother and child. O Word made flesh, bless those who, like Mary, at the foot of the cross, mourn the loss of a loved one. Give them a hope and confidence in your promise that all who die in the Lord are raised to life anew with you in heaven by your cross and empty tomb. Surround them, too, with family and friends to care for them in this time of sorrow, as John did for Mary. O Word made flesh, let us live to serve you, Lord. Strengthen the bonds of families. Help them to grow, to know and understand each other more and more. Encourage them to support and uplift one another through thick and thin, loving one another unconditionally. O Word made flesh, when we have wandered from your way and lost a sense of who we are, search and seek us out and call us back to you. May we find our worth and our place and our motivation for living in your warm and protective embrace. Fill us with a desire to stay near to you in word and devotion and prayer. O Word made flesh, care for, we pray, those in our family of faith who are sick and hurting in hospitals and at home with ailments of body, mind, and spirit, especially Alice, Bonnie, Dan, Lynn, Joe, Katie, Laverne, Linda, Vern, Norma, Gwen, and Vernette. We pray for those who are unemployed or underemployed, and those who are poor and in need. We also pray for the family of Christy Aldeck, whose aunt died recently. Loving Lord of all, grant to them peace and comfort and recovery of energy according to your will, and raise them up to continue the work you have created them to do for the expansion of your kingdom. O Word made flesh, God of all creation, we offer you grateful praise for the gift of life. Hear our prayers for your servants who recall this week and day of their birth, and rejoice in your gifts of life, love, family, and friends. We pray for Leah, Steve, Logan, Aiden, Patty, Logan, Ryan, Beverly, Lonnie, and Kara. May every day of their life bring glory to the name of Jesus. We pray that each one will continue to live in the light of his gospel. O Word made flesh, dear Heavenly Father, as our thoughts turn to this forthcoming convention of the Northern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we humbly thank you that you have made us your children by faith and that you have permitted us to be workers together with you. Do not cast us away because of the coldness of our zeal, but forgive us and renew us. Lay your blessings upon our convention. Give those who act for us wisdom from on high. Grant us unity of spirit. Bestow upon our president and president-elect a double portion of your spirit, so that guided by you, they may guide our brothers and sisters only in your ways. Let all our officers and committees seek only your glory and the good of your children. O Word made flesh, let us serve. All these petitions we offer in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who did the will of God and lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. At this time, we continue our worship by gathering as offerings for our mission and ministry of Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School. We rise. You. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, in word and deed, was obedient to your will, humbly offering himself as a sacrifice that we might be your sanctified people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to him, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And, O Lord, remember us in your kingdom as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. we rise. Now may this, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you to life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.